This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do grant.
The other passengers there reluctantly gave up their seats, but I refused.
The young man makes up his mind to work. There's no limit to what he can do.
This is truly the next chapter in General Motors' recovery and turnaround.
You're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution.
Ancient relics from the Mediterranean found across Michigan? Well, that was the headline turning heads at the turn of the last century. It is Wednesday, and that means it's time to talk our state's history with our partners from the Michigan History Center. Here now is Eric Perkins, historian at the Michigan History Center. Eric, we've got a pretty interesting story here with some twists and turns. So let's start at the very beginning. What were these relics and who found them?
Right. The Michigan relics were originally found in October 1890. A man named Scottford was digging post holes near Wyman in Montcalm County, and he came across some mysterious artifacts during his dig, at least that's what he said, and he interested the townspeople in these things, actually brought some out to help them find some of their own, and created quite a buzz and quite a stir in the town.
Now, what kind of artifacts? What was it that he said, look what I found?
Some clay artifacts, I think it was a cup, and maybe some small copper things. Most of the early finds of these were clay. And he actually got some so excited about it that they formed the Montcalm County Archaeological Trust with the idea that they would go and find these relics, basically corner the market on them, and really catching on to the buzz that was around the World's Columbian Exhibition that was coming up in a couple of years. But initially, we're thankful that one of the trustees of this Montcalm Archaeological Trust actually went and said, you know, maybe we better check these things out. And they actually ran them by a couple experts, including an expert on Middle Eastern languages and some archaeologists who pronounced them immediately to be frauds. So they dissolved that trust. But the story didn't go away, and these things keep popping up. In 1898, a man shows up at the University of Michigan Museum and offers the curator a box full of these clay artifacts and various things for sale. When the curator laughs at him, he drops the price. And
there's a tell.
and the guy's exactly. And so the curator says, you know, you're dealing in frauds here. You need to stop doing that. And the guy says, well, can I leave them here while I go, you know, I don't know, feed the meter or go home and check out a story.
Scuttle anyway, off.
So that's how the U of M got their small collection of these pieces. But the story doesn't go away.
Believers are going to believe, aren't they?
Believers will believe. It becomes such a craze, if you will, because the things keep turning up, that in 1907, a Detroit news reporter gets a hold of it, a guy named William Benscoter. And in the great tradition of investigative reporting, he digs and digs, and he goes and he finds the guys who are now in the Detroit area, and he grills these guys. And the one actually says, eventually kind of sort of partially cracks. No one ever confesses to making these, but he says something like, who are you to interfere with a private enterprise?
Meaning, who are you to stop me from making money?
Exactly. And so what they would do, they would stage these finds and they would get respectable folks from these small towns to come out and quote unquote find the pieces that they planted in the ground and sign an affidavit that, hey, we found this mysterious artifact in the ground. And then they would create the buzz around it. But eventually, they had enough of a buzz going on that they just turned most of their efforts to just cranking these things out. In fact, the reporter Benscoter refers to it as a mill, you know, the mill.
The mill.
Yeah.
And by then, the former Michigan Secretary of State, Daniel Soper, was involved in all of this?
Right. Soper comes on the scene, and the thing becomes really about promoting these for sale to collectors. And Soper becomes a very vigorous defender and countering whenever experts will pronounce them as frauds. He counters them in the most colorful language he can get away with.
And we should note he had to resign as Secretary of State for corrupt behavior.
He did. He was a disgraced former Secretary of State. Later on, he moves down south and starts calling himself a senator. Yeah, so his story, you know, his checkered career, but there are interested parties. The LDS Church becomes interested in them.
Latter-day Saints, okay.
Latter-day Saints. Also, a clergyman named Father Savage in the Detroit area starts a large collection of these things. And so, you know, they're seriously interested in these pieces because a lot of times they employ biblical imagery in the pieces. And so it's really sparked a lot of interest that way. And it says more about what people knew from reading the Bible and going to church than they did about archaeology, which was just a budding science, really.
Yeah. Did it go beyond some the initial things that you were describing were like a clay cup and clay things? Did they start getting branching out and creating different kinds of relics, quote unquote?
Yeah, the scheme got much more elaborate. The estimation is there's maybe 3,000 pieces that we can sort of account for in various places. That's the estimate. And they moved on to more copper artifacts, spear points and swords and crowns and sandals. What's interesting, too, is that as they went, the critics would say, experts would say, well, these show modern tool marks. They show modern file marks. So what starts appearing in these relics but copper files?
Ah.
These clay pieces have the evidence of machine sawn boards. You know, they stuck the wet clay on a machine sawn board to dry, and you flip this thing over, and here's the evidence of, you know, a modern cut board. Well, that disappears. Then the point is that they're unfired clay, and if they were buried in the ground in Michigan, there's no way they'd last for thousands and thousands of years, and so they start to bake the clay pieces. When the LDS Church becomes interested in them, they start incorporating, you know, Mormon imagery into the pieces, and so it's just a really interesting, you know, set of phases of these things, if you will.
They're staying one step ahead of truth, if you will.
Well, they were trying.
Yes.
They were trying.
Now, who ultimately took this down? Who was involved in blowing this up?
Well, the 1907 reporting of Ben Scoter really kind of quashed it, although it sort of went on under Soper's promotion into the early 20s, and then it kind of died off, but it really hasn't stopped. And there are folks who are still interested and still believe they're real relics today.
Hmm. And you've got some of these relics, the Michigan relics. Do people come in looking to see them?
They do. In fact, I've got a couple folks lined up this summer and one I need to get back with who want to come and look at the relics. And we certainly can do that. We can't get all the pieces out. We have something upwards of 850 of them, 870. So it's not possible for us to get them all out at one time, really. But people can make an appointment and come and see them if they like.
It is kind of an interesting reminder that scam artists have certainly been around a long time, haven't they?
Yes.
What do you think is the overall lesson of the Michigan relics? What should we learn from this saga?
Well, I personally think it's more an issue of what people were interested in, what people knew about in the 1890s. You know, people were not aware of the achievements of Native peoples in Michigan, in America. You know, they said that the mounds were built by some other ancient civilization. So I think it's a lesson to me to really get in touch with the history and the archaeology that's yours in your local town and know what's going on there, rather than reading in some amazing story. The stories that really happened are more amazing than that.
Eric Perkins is an historian at the Michigan History Center. Thank you so much for sharing with us the story of the Soper relics, the Michigan relics. Eric, thanks so much.
Thank you.